Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
So this morning I want to do a part two to last week's message. If you missed last week's message, that's okay. It's not like, oh, I missed that, I can't track. Hopefully today will stand in itself stand alone on its own. But it is a part two from last week. Last week it was seeing 360. And so this week it's going to be seeing 720, which is like twice as much. It'll be 2.0 from last week. It isn't a series, as you see up on the wall. Presence is in the same vein, the same genre of what we've been looking to and experiencing. And again, last week I talked about a subject that I don't hear a lot about in the body of Christ anymore. Maybe 30, 40 years ago I did. But it's not meant to be scary. It's not meant to be intimidating. It's not meant to be fearful in any way. But it's an aspect of the kingdom. It's an aspect of the Bible. It's an aspect of Jesus that is in the Word of God. And it's the fear of the Lord. It's absolutely real. And I feel like, and I'm going to get way ahead of myself in just a second, if I feel like there's more fear of the Lord coming from heaven to earth, because it does talk about the bride being beautiful, the bride preparing herself. And when I have a fear of the Lord, a healthy respect, a healthy reverence, not something that makes me run away from God, but it actually causes me to run to Him. But as I run to Him, I want things off, because the things that maybe have been on me don't look like heaven, don't act like heaven, don't sound like heaven. So this is an addendum to last week, an addition to last week. It's the fear of the Lord. And it's seeing a complete picture of Jesus. We hear a lot. In fact, it was one of the songs that we sang this morning. And it's so right, so accurate, so perfect. Because I'll say this. Before Jesus came, I would say there was a lot of healthy fear of the Lord. In meaning this, when the priest would go in once a year into the Holy of Holies to represent the nation, they would tie bells around the hem of the priest's garment when he went into the Holy of Holies. Because if the bells stopped ringing, he was dead. Because he was in the very presence of God. And so that priest understood, I can't go in there with a bunch of junk in my life, because I don't want him to have to carry me out feet first dead. It was absolutely real. That's how they handled it in the Older Testament. There was a reverence, a reverential fear of God centuries ago. And I believe with all of my heart, it's coming back. Not that we're going to drag us out dead and have bells on our garments, on our pant legs, when we come into the presence of God. But judgment first begins in the house of the Lord, Scripture. And it's me, you, getting serious with those things in my life that don't look like heaven, don't sound like heaven, don't smell. We're never going to be perfect this side of heaven. But He does call us to walk holy, Amen. To be holy. And those attitudes within me that stink. Anybody ever have? No, don't raise your hands. I'll do it for you, for me. Those attitudes that just stink. They're judgmental, critical. I have way too many, and Lord, I want those to fall off of me as I step closer to the beautiful one, to King Jesus. It's not scary. It's not meant to keep me away, just the opposite. It's meant to pull me forward into His presence, because Jesus is our friend. He said so in the Bible, it's in red letters. He said, I no longer call you servants, I no longer call you slaves, I call you friends, which to the Jews 2,000 years ago, it was ridiculous. God isn't our friend. Jesus said, no, I am your friend. You're not just workers for the kingdom of heaven. He calls us friend. John 15, verse 12 says this, John 15, Gospel, John 15. This is what Jesus said. This is my commandment, not suggestion, not thought, not opportunity. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I, this is Jesus speaking again, red letters, but I have called you friends. For all things that I've heard from my Father, I've made known to you. It was revolutionary. It was crazy talk to the Jewish nation. Friends, a holy God, a holy God. And now the master is calling me friend? Can you imagine how sweet that would sound to them? This all-powerful Messiah working amongst them. And he's, you're my friend? Yes, absolutely he's a friend. But he's not just my friend. He's so much more. And I mentioned last week that people, they have phrases now. People, maybe even in this room, I don't know. That's fine. But certainly out there, I hear it all the time. Oh, me and the big guy upstairs, we have an understanding. Huh. So you can go out and do whatever, live whatever, harm people, do whatever, because you and the big guy upstairs have got an agreement. I do not think so. I'm trying. And there's just this thing. Me and JC, we're tight. Not blessed us, we're tight. The other JC, him, capital J, capital C. Yeah, me and JC, we're tight. Yeah, I hope you are. But it's not overly familiar, if you understand what I mean, overly familiar. Hey, dude. Hey, JC. Non-JC. Other JC. So confusing. We should use a different illustration. But he is my friend, but he's so much more. 1 Peter 1, this is Bible, 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 Bible. We love the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 says this, but like the Holy One who called you, Jesus, our Father, Holy Spirit, but like the Holy One who called you, be holy also. Tom. Yes, he's holy. Tom, you be holy yourselves also in all my behavior. Well, except for that. That's still a work in progress. No, that area of my life. Bring holiness into that area that I don't want put up on the screen because it's not pretty. All my behavior. Verse 16, because it is written. What does that mean? Bible. The Word of God. Because it is written, you, Tom, Stephen, we're not going to mention wives' names. You, Tom and Stephen, all of us, you, human being, son, daughter of the Most High, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Yes. My goodness, oh my. Oh my, and there's grace. Oh, there's so much grace. There's so much mercy. But it keeps me wanting to change, to say soft, to recognize when my attitude stinks, when I'm showing ugliness from my heart, and, oh, I just had a bad day. No, Tom, change, repent, ask for forgiveness. If I'm humble, people are probably going to, in the church, people are probably going to forgive me, unless it's my everyday. And they've grown used to me being ugly, then it's more difficult for the family to show mercy to me if it's my normal. So I just keep changing. Jesus, help me. And he is an ever-present help. People talk. Well, the Bible talks a lot about people. Our character, our actions, our words. The Bible has a lot to say about our lifestyles, our habits. And what I don't hear as much anymore is when back in the 70s when I became a Christian was the fear of the Lord. What does that even mean? Reverence. Oh, take my breath away. Honor, respect. I talked a little bit more about that last week than I'm going to do this week. Proverbs 16:6, NIV says this, Proverbs 16:6, through love and faithfulness, not critical, not ugly, not judgment, through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for in him. Through the fear of the Lord, evil is avoided. Evil is avoided. How? By having a fear of the Lord. With the internet, the news, our ability to record cell phones. Anybody seen anything, you know, on the news and an event is happening, someone's being at times beaten, and there's 48 people all recording it, got their cell phones. Can you just put your cell phone down and go help somebody? I just want to have it recorded. Well, the poor person being beaten to death because you wanted to record it. Anyway, another message, different day. We have the ability now in our world to see everything that's happening all over the world in time, in real time, real space. Wars, riots, conflicts, wicked people doing wicked things. Attacking authority, attacking police officers, attacking firefighters, attacking awesome human beings. Just pure evil before our very eyes. People preying on the elderly, the vulnerable. It's just wickedness, and we see so much of it. And as I said last week, I expect the world to be like that. I don't want it to be like that, but I expect the world to act like the world. I acted like the world. I was great at being a sinful, evil, horrible, nasty person. I was really skilled at it. I was a wonderful sinner. And then Jesus came in my life and said, Tom, I've forgiven you, now be different. Change. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He wants to make you kind and showing mercy. I was out with a friend yesterday, and we were just out. We were fishing, and we were driving, we were leaving, we're both a little tired. We slew the fish, we won. We're driving away, and there's this dad walking with a little five-year-old little girl. She's got pink shoes, pink little thing in her hair, pink fishing pole. We're driving away, and we are headed home. It's gonna rain, rain's coming, we're headed home. And just as we're pulling out, we're walking past this dad and this little girl, and the little girl, I'm guessing, was on her maiden voyage. I'm guessing it's the first time she's ever been fishing. I mean, the fishing pole had a price tag on it. I'm just saying. But this little girl, she's so happy, Daddy. And so they didn't have all the gear. They're just walking out of the, what in the, how are they gonna, what are they gonna do with these fish if they catch them? And so my friend just stops, pulls over to the side of the road, and I'm like, dude, what are you doing? Gets out, jumps in the back of his pick-em-up, throws open the hatch, and he kind of calls over this guy and this little girl. We don't know them. I know we don't know them. Calls the dad over, and my friend says, hey, this is called power bait, I think. It's an orange, little gooey stuff in a little thing. And if you want to catch trout and you're a little girl, all you got to do is put this on a little three-prong thing, type of hook. At least three. A little small hook. And he said, just put this on your treble hook and your girl's going to catch fish. And this guy's like, I don't know that he had much of anything. He'd never even heard of this little orange goo. And this dad's like, who are you? Just somebody showing kindness. Stop to help a little girl and let she catches four fish and tells her brothers about it for the next 15 years. Champion fisher girl. But this guy, this dad's looking at my friend like, "What? Who are you?" Just acting like Jesus, a man no longer self-absorbed, no longer just being just himself, just expressing kindness to somebody, a nobody, but two people that experienced the kindness of heaven inside of my friend. That's what the fear of the Lord, because it changes me from being selfish. It changes me from being self-absorbed. I start noticing other people because my selfishness has fallen away from me. I'm no longer worried about my time only, my money only, my life only. It's the fear of the Lord because I no longer want to be old Tom. You don't want to be old Tom, I promise you. But as I walk closer to Jesus, I want to I want my attitudes to change. I want it to drop off. How do I do it? It's the fear of the Lord. Get rid of the stink in my life instead of accommodating it and excusing it and tolerating it. I expect the world to act the way it does. But my pain is when I see selfishness in the church and husbands treating their wives like a slave, speaking to their wives ugly. It still irritates me. I'm going to get on to my next point in just a second. But it still irritates me when I see men walk into a church building 5, 10, 15 feet in front of their wife. You weren't raised by my dad, earthly or heavenly. It's just treating people with respect and honor. Why? Because the fear of the Lord causes me and calls me to change. Because it's not my natural inclination. My natural inclination is selfishness. Old Tom. But when I encounter him as he really is, it demands change. The fear of the Lord demands change in my life. I'm no longer pig Tom. Selfish Tom. Revelation 19:6 says this. This is speaking of the church and the fear of the Lord. Revelation 19, verse 6. This is John the Apostle in heaven. And he saw a vision of the reality of heaven. And John wrote this. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder. He's trying to describe something indescribable. And they're shouting, hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. Something like what Heather was talking about. She heard heaven. Oh my gosh. That's what heaven is not quiet for all our introvertness people. Heaven sounds very extroverted. In fact, it actually notes there's only 30 minutes of silence. Because it's loud. Because people are worshiping Jesus. Constantly.
How long is this worship time going to go?
Maybe a little longer. Verse 7, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. This is what John saw. For the wedding of the Lamb has come. This is my point. For the wedding, the reunion, let me think of a right word. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, the Church of Jesus Christ, has made herself ready. Lord, cleanse me. No, Tom, you do it. Lord, change my attitude. No, Tom, you change your attitude. Verse 8, fine linen. This is what the bride is going to look like. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. And it says fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Not in heaven, on earth. How we're to be now. And it'll be perfect in heaven. But Tom, be a holy people now. Verse 9, then the angel said to me, write this, make note. Write it down. Stone of remembrance. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Lord, let me behave like a son. Act like a son. Jesus is coming back for a pure and spotless bride. I can't do anything about what's happening in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or Waco, Texas, or Hershey, Pennsylvania. I can do something about me on my good day. I can do something about me. I'm going to stop throwing rocks at this type of church and that type of denomination. Lord, I can change me, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's a reverence for the King. Lord, put a guard over my mouth. Becca came last week and shared something out of Psalm 34. I want to reference it again. Psalm 34, this is what the Bible says. Verse 11. Come, you children, me, us. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life? I do. And loves the length of days that he may say good? I do. Then, verse 13, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. How do I do that? Read James 3. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart, leave, disengage, disenfranchise from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it, the fear of the Lord. It's just as true as Jesus is our friend. Healthy reverence, healthy awe, healthy respect. But how do I know what he's truly like? Having a full perspective. The Bible helps us. People saw Jesus. In Mark 4, the wind and the waves, they saw Jesus stand up in the boat. He was asleep and he stood up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. And after the disciples, all 12 of them are in the boat, they are freaked out that Jesus had the power over the wind and the waves. Freaked out. But that's just nature. No big deal. And they didn't even see Jesus in glory and glorified. They just saw him in action, if you will. But the Bible is so wonderful, so helpful. It actually shows us what Jesus is really like, his resurrected self. In Luke 24, the Bible says this. Luke 24, he is resurrected. And Jesus appeared to his disciples. He's gone to the cross. He's resurrected. He's looking different now, heavenly, instead of so earthly. Luke 24, and I say that very reverentially. Luke 24, while they were telling these things, the disciples are talking. He himself, capital H, Jesus, he himself stood in their midst and said to them, peace be to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they were seeing a spirit, a ghost. They had walked with him for 3.5 years. They know Jesus. They know what he liked, what he didn't like. They knew him. But not the glorified Jesus. Not the heavenly, resurrected Jesus. Startled and frightened. Revelation 1, Jesus had 12 apostles, 12 disciples. One fell away. But he had one. He had the Peter, James, and John, the three. But the Bible denotes one, John, as his closest friend. Close friend. Closest. And this is John, his closest friend, who knew Jesus, knew him. But John hadn't seen him glorified, what Jesus was really like, until, as it tells us in Revelation 1, verse 1. This is what the Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants, the things which must soon take place. And he sent to communicate it by his angel to his bondservant, John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus, even to all that he saw. So John's going to say what he saw. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance, which are in Jesus, was on an island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He was banished there. Verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. And the trumpet saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, and listed them. Verse 12, then I, John, turned to see the voice that was speaking with me. I wonder who he saw. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. In the middle of the lampstands, I saw one like a son of man. What did he look like? He's clothed in a robe, reaching to his feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. His hair, his head and his hair were white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze, and when it has been made to glow in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of many waters. This is me and JC tight. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, this is John, his buddy, his closest friend, when I saw him, this is a response to, hey, my buddy upstairs. Yo, JC, when his closest friend, who walked with him for 3.5 years, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. Fear the Lord, because I see him as he really is. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. He doesn't want us to be afraid of him. But do I understand he's holy and pure? And he says, now, Tom, you be holy. Once you glimpse him, he's just not the dude, the man upstairs. His closest friend fell as though dead. Hebrews 12, verse 28 says this. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude, thankfulness, appreciation. Let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Yes. Reverence and awe. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you. Then Tom, sorry to spit. If I'm truly thankful, then the Bible says, let me live a life that is acceptable service with reverence and awe, not casual, not habits that are ugly and embarrassing, dictating my decisions in life. For our God is a consuming fire. Do I know him like that? Great, but how? What do I do with all this? Fear the Lord. How do I get that? Here's the first, and I'm going somewhere. Fear the Lord. Anybody ever have reoccurring nightmares? I have. I'm just two. I'm not going to elaborate them, but I got two. I probably have more than that, but those are the ones I can remember. One is I'm falling down a set of stairs backwards. Oh, that's not good. And it's just I'm just grasping at nothing as I'm falling backwards. That's not a good. That's not a happy dream. That's a nightmare. That's one I've had so many times. The second one is this. I'm in college. I know it stretches your imagination. It's a dream. I'm in college, and I walk into class. And the teacher, the instructor, the professor at the front says, okay, we're done. 4 years. It's your final. Yeah, nightmare. And I'm like, woo, woo, woo. I've skipped all the classes. My nightmare. I skipped all the classes. And the teacher says, it's pass fail. You're 4, 5, 6 years of college, depending on how long it took you, all based on today, how you do on the final exam. I burst into sweat in my nightmare. And I know I can't undo the day. It's been done. I've wasted my college experience. Reoccurring nightmare. It's finals. I'm freaked out. I haven't studied. I'm not prepared. Just a dream. Great but how. First point, and maybe my only one, great but how. There's a thing that I think Tim Hedlund referenced a few weeks ago when he spoke. Understanding consequences. Understanding consequences. It's like you go to college. However, did I write, did I do my studies? Did I prepare? Did I do my papers? There's a day where you get assessed how you did. The Bible also talks about something, and I'm going to be really clear about what this is and what it isn't. In 1 Corinthians 3, this is what the Bible says. This is Paul the Apostle. 1 Corinthians 3. And when I understood this because a very kind, godly pastor talked about this when it was 1977, and he labored on this, and it drilled something down into my soul that changed me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 and 15. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation, Jesus is the foundation, if I build on it with gold, silver, precious stones. Those are good things. Or wood, hay, or straw. Each man's work will become evident. For the day, capital D in most translations of the Bible, the day will show it because it is to be revealed with fire. And the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work, which he has built on, it remains, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved. So important. Understand. He himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. So this is what Paul is saying. There's going to be a day where Tom stands before the judgment seat of Christ. Okay, let me change the scenario real quick. Start over here. There's a day I'm going to stand before Jesus. Was he my Messiah? Was he my Lord and Savior? Did I say yes to Jesus? The only two answers, door A, door B, heaven or hell. That's standing before God. Not did I live a good life, has nothing to do with whether I lived a good life or not. Just did I trust in Jesus or not? Heaven, hell. Great. I get to walk through A because of Jesus. Now, there's like a second, if you want to look into the Word of God, there's a second thing where I stand before the judgment seat of Christ. This is not whether I go to heaven or hell. I'm already in. I'm going to heaven. But it's test day. It's the last day of school. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, where I'm going to heaven. That's resolved. That's done. That's over. I'm going to heaven. Now, am I going to be rewarded for my life? Or am I going to suffer loss because of how I lived my life? And the Bible says it can be gold, silver, or precious stone, reward. Or, Tom, if you live selfishly, self-indulgent, you were ugly, you were, not ugly physically. Was my life ugly? Did I never repent, never change? I just lived a self-indulgent, self-serving life. Wood, hay, or stubble. And all my life as if I never studied for the test. And I don't receive reward in the age to come. And the scripture says, you'll be saved as though through fire. All my life, what I could have done with my life as far as treasure and reward was naught, zero, nada, goose egg. But if I live as a understanding of sin with reverential fear and respect, when I see my stinking attitude towards my spouse or towards Cece or towards Mark, Lord, help me repent and change now, because there is a day coming when I'm going to stand before Him. Not whether I go to heaven or hell. I'm a son. I'm going to heaven. But it's a judgment seat of Christ where I'll be evaluated. How did I live my life as a son? There's so many different parables that Jesus talked about. Reward in the age to come. So many different parables that all explain this. And Lord, with reverence, with fear, may I understand there's a day coming when I'm going to stand before the mighty King. And I want to be rewarded forever. Because the reward that lasts forever is what? Forever. That's where Jesus talks about, don't let your left hand know what your right is doing. Don't be offering all your gifts, because your reward, and you receive your reward on earth. You receive your reward. But if I live in such a way, my reward will be in heaven forever. Does that make sense? I hope there's no misunderstanding. It's super clear. Is Jesus your Lord? Yes or no? Heaven or hell? Has nothing to do with reward. Well, that's the ultimate reward, but Lord, help me to live a holy life. And when friends point out my ugliness, when my family points out my ugliness, may I repent and change and ask for forgiveness. I expect the world to live ugly, because they do. But as a son, I'm now, the Holy Spirit's here to help me to live rightly. Can I have the stewards come and pass out communion, please? If we can do that now, it'd be helpful. So here's what I would like us to do, just to hesitate for a moment. to stop and just saying, Lord, are there things in my life, the squeaky door things, that I just want to get rid of in my life? If you've been in this church for a while, you'll know I don't talk about the fear of the Lord much. At all. But it's in there.
Yeah.
It's truth. And Lord, may I live understanding there is a day I will stand before you as a believer. And I want to, and it's where Jesus is talking about those who will be given 10 cities, 5 cities, 1 city in the age to come based on how I live my life. So much in the Bible about reward in the age to come. Lord, may a reverential, holy respect and reverence fall on my life. Let me listen, Lord, to you, Holy Spirit, and where I have sin encamped and entrenched in my life as a child of God, as a believer, as a son, as a daughter, may I change, may I repent, may I jettison it. If I'm wasting all my time and resource on me, may I be like my friend yesterday as we were fishing and stop. There's a man and a little girl. Can I show them kindness? Well, I'm on a... My schedule can wait that I show kindness to people. And it starts with my family first. May my wife receive my best. May your husband receive the best instead of just leftovers. And maybe that's where we start for some married people. Right in our own house. One last verse, and I don't think you'll have this one written up there. It's Psalm 139, verse 24. It's the last, I believe it's the last verse of Psalm 139. The scripture says this, see if there is any offensive way in me. See if there's any, see if there is any offensive way in me. Let me just make it, break it down. Lord, see if there's anything that stinks in my life. It's ugly, unholy. Well, you should see what she's like. I'm not worried about your wife. And here's the funny thing. When I stand before Jesus, he's not going to say, well, you get to be in the special line because we all know what your wife was like. She was tough on me too. You can't blame your husband in the age to come. We all stand before him on our own merits. How I did me. Lord, see if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Help me, Jesus. Jesus, I thank you for grace and mercy, your love and your kindness. Lord, it's your kindness, the scripture says. It's your kindness, Romans. It's your kindness that leads me to repentance. It's your kindness. You care about Greg. You care about Miriam. Your eye of affection is set upon your lovely delight. You delight in Beth. You delight in Rich. Because you're kind. You're helping me come to grips with some of the things in my life. It's your kindness. In Luke, I won't read the entire passage or any of it, but in Luke, Jesus, just for the, we call it the Last Supper, and it was his last, Jesus made this statement to his disciples who were bickering, which one of them is the greatest. I think they're getting a D minus on their exam at that moment. And Jesus looks at his disciples, all but one is going to leave him, abandon him. One's going to betray him and stab him in the back. And he looks at this crew who are arguing about which of them is the greatest. And Jesus makes this amazing statement. I have eagerly desired to have this meal with you. Eagerly, knowing that in hours they're all going to run away. All of them are going to fail him, except for John. They're all going to fail. And he looks at these guys at the table. And he says, I've waited for this meal with you guys. I love you so much. I eagerly desired this. I'd be reading them the Riot Act. You bunch of wimps and sissies, don't be running off here in a few hours. Stand tough, stand strong. Nope. I've eagerly desired this. You're all going to fail, but I love you. And you're going to be strengthened and strengthen one another after you failed. You're going to stand together strong because my grace is with you and for you. Don't live in your failure. Step forward. Father, I thank you for the bread and the cup that we have today. It's a cup of blessing. It's a cup of provision. It's a cup of wholeness, a cup of healing, a cup of mercy. Instead of the judgment that I so richly deserved previously. But Father, your blood is shed abroad that I would know cleansing and wholeness. Father, you made me part of a family, the bread. You made me part of a body that loves me and supports me. Father, as we take the bread and do so, as we take the bread, Father, I'm part of a family. Yes, this is a piece, but I'm part of a loaf. I'm part of a whole. Thank you for making me part of family as we take this. Thank you that you broke your body for me, that I could know family. Jesus, I thank you. The Bible says your blood still speaks. It still brings wholeness and cleansing. The Bible says, as though my sins be as red as scarlet, you make my sins white as snow. And it's the blood, it's your blood that you spilt on that day on the cross. Still just as potent today as it was 2,000 years ago. Still brings liberty and wholeness. Fathers, I drink this reverentially with respect. Thank you for forgiving me. Help me, help me, help me to live in the good of all that you've done for me. The provision, the blessing that you made so available. Help me, Jesus. As we drink this cup of blessing, may healing break out in this family. May blessing break out in this family based on what you did, not what I can do, on what you did as we drink together. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're here to help me change, help me to become who I really am in you. Father, I just speak blessing over this family. I thank you for health and wholeness over this family. I thank you people were baptized in this family this week and set free. Father, I pray for marriages that they would be strong. They would be whole. They would be healthy. Father, I thank you for teens and youngsters and grown children, Lord, where there's fracture in relationships and family. Children with parents, whether the children are 6 or 46, that wholeness would happen in our family. And we would see restoration this side of eternity and our family dynamics. Father, I pray for the singles amongst us. Father, that your word says you set the lonely in families. Father, that people who are lonely in this family would find oneness in this family, would find stability and strength and support in this family, that no one would have naught, would have nothing, that together we would experience you. Father, we would have peace in this church family and blessing. If you don't know Jesus, pray with me now. Jesus, please come into my life. I surrender to you. Thank you for forgiving me for my ways that were ugly and broken. Please forgive my sins, Jesus. Please come into my life and be my Savior and forgive me. I want to live with you forever, King Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me. I surrender to you now. If you prayed that prayer, I'd like to speak with you afterwards. We're going to have a prayer team up. Can I have the prayer team come up? You may be thinking, man, I am so struggling. I need help. We have people who want to pray with you right now, right here. If you're experiencing condemnation, it's not from Jesus. It's not from the Holy Spirit. He always convicts me. and says, Tom, you need to change. But he never condemns me. A son is a son, a daughter is a daughter. Bless us as we go, Jesus. If you have a need, please come up. We want to pray with you. We want to stand with you. We want to help you. I had a picture, just, and I'll conclude with this in 48 seconds. I had a picture before of someone putting like Visine eye drops in their eye, and health and wholeness came into their eyesight. And I don't know if that was physical or spiritual. But if you need to see Jesus rightly, you need to have a healing in your spiritual eyesight, we want to pray for you. If you're struggling with your eyes, health in your eyes, and you need healing in your eyes, can we pray with you today, right now, for healing in your physical eyes?
Amen.
I believe there's healing and wholeness for it. Father, bless us as we go. Thank you for your life, your love. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.